Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I just wanted to say I did see an ad today on television for apparently it's a pizza place called CeCe's.
I know CeCe's.
C-I-C-I like all you can apostrophe eat. S.
There's one in the pipe.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to make this very clear. Do they sponsor? Are they a sponsor here?
They're probably not going to after this. I'm guessing.
Do not ever go on television and say we have New York style pizza.
What's your feeling on that? I don't know that we've discussed this.
This is just, that's pizza.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We're live at Chatter. We have breakfast starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue, Northwest, and Jennifer Street, Northwest, in Friendship Heights. We have Saturday tomorrow, pretty much all day and all night tomorrow. We have what could have been called Kentucky Derby de Mayo. But it's Cinco de Derby. And we have this from about noon till 2 in the morning. And we want everybody to come here and watch all the games and then the Kentucky Derby, which probably goes somewhere between 5 o'clock at night and 7 o'clock at night.
Another rainbow unicorn here this morning. A gentleman here for apparently breakfast only.
Breakfast only.
Yeah.
Yes.
Breakfast only. I was giving out books before we sat down to do the show, and he said, I'm not here for the show. And I said, what are you here for? He said, I'm here for breakfast. Well, God bless him.
Joke's on him.
Yeah, God bless him, because now he's getting the show, although he can move. He can go to the other
absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely.
We had people do that yesterday. In fact, Tori's husband did that yesterday, moved to the other side because he was conducting business while eating omelets. Jeannie McManus is here. Gary Braun is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is here, all dressed up because he's got someplace to go. That's why you don't know this, but we are starting a little bit early today.
Indochino suit wearing.
Yeah.
That's right. Nigel will do the news, run the board. This is the open, and we will start with, we'll start locally. We'll start with the Caps. I don't have much to say about the Caps. The Penguins beat the Caps 3-1. You can say, oh, it's because Tom Wilson wasn't there. It's not because Tom Wilson wasn't there. That's a contributing factor, I'm sure, but it's not everything. They're the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, and you didn't think they were going to win one at home? I mean, really, you didn't think they were going to win one? So do we?
Caps are so much better than them.
Would you like to? Is there something?
I'll say this. I don't think
we're moving on to basketball.
I will say this about Tom Wilson. He wasn't the reason why they lost. He may have very well been the reason why, for only the third time in 107 playoff games, Alex Ovechkin did not have a shot on goal.
But neither did Sidney Crosby.
Right. Neither did Crosby, although Crosby had a couple of assists. But we talked about yesterday, Wilson.
He's on the line.
That physicality sort of creates room for Ovi to operate. But no, I mean, it's exciting. I know Jeannie watched it. I don't know about you. It is exciting.
I watched parts of it.
It
I
is
was
intense,
going
exciting
back
hockey.
And forth with the basketball.
You know, I'm going to state the obvious, but a hockey game is breathless. It's not like other sports where players come and go and there's timeouts and the subs come in and the subs go out. You cannot take your eyes off of it.
And elevated, I would offer, like no other sport is elevated by the guy doing the play-by-play, Doc Emmick, who is just
well, he wins Emmys.
Amazing.
He wins sports Emmys every year.
And rightfully so.
Deservedly so. And you would, honestly, you would say to yourself, hockey is, of the four major sports, it is not only the fourth of the four major sports, it is way down the pole. So for him to win these sports Emmys means that the people who are judging that category are paying attention.
Right.
Because he's great.
My one big concern.
By the way, the doc, he is, apparently he is a PhD.
Oh, yeah?
That's right.
Yes, he's not an MD.
Humane letters?
I don't know that he's a Hoff-Woff.
My one big concern.
It's tougher to get the waff.
Is the fight that Oshie and Letang were having at the very end of the game.
What was that about?
I saw Oshie off his skates launching into Letang, and now I am worried that Oshie, who scored the goal last night,
will not be suspended.
Will
not be suspended.
But he should have been penalized. I mean, it was weird. It was totally at the end.
I didn't
and it was
see
away
what
from
started it.
Neither did I. It was.
I think
really
it was just Oshie was congratulating him on a hard-fought win.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Oshie has specifically said that Letang is a dirty player.
So Emmerich's PhD in communications from Bowling Green State University.
So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So we move from hockey now, and there were probably other games last night, and I don't even know what they were, and I don't care. We move to the two basketball games.
This NHL update has been brought to you by
True Consequence.
By CeCe's.
Cleveland. The Cleveland Cavaliers, and I believe I had this. And Wilbon did not. Wilbon said Toronto was going to win this series. Wilbon has to eat it, but he will say, well, I didn't really say it. No, you did. You actually said it.
Not really.
Cleveland destroyed Toronto in Toronto in the first quarter, and in the second quarter, Toronto was ahead and comfortably for a while, as they always are comfortably ahead for a while. And then LeBron completely took over the game. LeBron James, he's the best player in the world. In the third quarter, I'm watching this intently. In the third quarter, LeBron made three step-back
fadeaway
shots, one of which Mark Jones, who was doing the play-by-play, had a great line about, which I wrote down. He said, that was up in the air so long they should have shown a movie on it.
That's pretty
that
good.
Was a great line. Mark Jones and Hubie Brown are very good together. And LeBron made these shots, and LeBron passed the ball, and LeBron scored, and Kevin Love scored. LeBron and Kevin Love. LeBron had 43 points and 14 assists. Now, the 14 assists with a three-point shot account for at least 28 points and perhaps more. It could be more. I didn't break it down.
I saw this stat. In the third period, LeBron accounted for, between scores and assists, 30 points to Toronto's 24.
LeBron and Love together accounted for 102 points. Two guys, 102 points. People say Kevin Love's an all-star. Voted by the coaches of the league, an all-star. He had 31 and 11 rebounds. LeBron had 43 points and 14 assists. Toronto they're dogs. They were dogs. The only reason they beat the Wizards is the Wizards are worse dogs. The Wizards allowed Toronto in the final 5 minutes of Game 5 and Game 6 to totally have their way. Totally have their way. Led by the dog of dogs, Kelly Oubre, in Game 6, who had nothing. Like, he had nothing and then didn't show up to talk about it.
Well,
on
why
any
should
level.
He?
You know,
by the way, LeBron's 14 assists accompanied by a single turnover, and I believe in Game 1 he had 12 assists with one turnover.
Why?
He had 26
why
assists
are you
and one
betting
turnover.
Against him? Wilbon last night in the last text to me, which of course I got this morning, Wilbon said, hey, they can't beat Boston. They're not going to beat Boston. He says, and if LeBron beats Boston, more power to him. Wilbon has picked against LeBron all year. I picked with LeBron all year because LeBron's the best player, and the best players sometimes find a way to win. I thought Ben Simmons was the best rookie of the year. Ben Simmons had one point last night. 1 point.
Missing in action.
He had four shots the whole game. He had 1 point. He was minus 23 last night, statistically.
In a 5-point game?
Minus 21 in the first game. He's minus 4. This is like, these statistics make Ryan Zimmerman look like Babe Ruth. He was minus 44 for the first two playoff games of this series against Boston. Boston was down 22.
Mm-hmm.
22. Boston has now won six straight at home. And if you are looking for historical imperative, the Boston Celtics, prior to this series, including last series, anytime they go up 2-0 in a playoff series, they win. They're 36-0 career.
Ooh.
36-0. So I think they're probably looking at 37. And this doesn't surprise me. While I always thought that Philadelphia is rightfully favored in this series, I sort of thought, even when I picked against Boston with Milwaukee, I sort of thought Boston would win this series for the simple reason that Philadelphia really is young. And they've really not been there before.
That's the best.
And Joel Embiid runs his yap. Mm. And you may find him charming, and I know I do often, but he runs his yap about how he's the best player in the world, and they're the best team in the world, as if by saying this, it will make it come true. Brad Stevens doesn't care how many points Joel Embiid makes, because he makes twos.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
And
Boston makes three.
To me, more interesting is that Brad Stevens is doing this without three of his best players.
Two best players. Yeah.
The thing you bring up about their youth is very interesting to me, because that is the one sport, the NBA, the one league, I should say, where you literally cannot win your first time in. You just can't.
Yeah.
Everyone has to lose a couple series before they can break through, whoever it's been. You know, even LeBron. I mean, I remember the conversations we used to have about LeBron 3-4 years in his career. He can't win the big one. Can't get there. LeBron can't do it.
It's very hard. I think Magic Johnson won in his first year, but he was surrounded by great veteran players when he did that. It's extraordinarily hard to do. And Boston is a young team as well, but Boston clearly has a superior coach. And I think more importantly, I know I say this a lot because I believe it a lot, the Boston Celtics allow themselves to be coached. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid is not somebody who will allow himself to be coached. You look at do you think John Wall allows himself to be coached? Because that now Russell Westbrook does not allow himself to be coached. Now,
LeBron James.
LeBron James does not.
Well, LeBron James is the coach.
Better and general manager.
Yeah, he's better than everybody else. But it is rare that great players allow themselves to be coached. Boston doesn't yet have great players. I'm not sure Kyrie Irving allows himself to be coached, but he's not there right now.
No. Right.
He's not.
You know what would be interesting is to see an NBA team that wasn't full of one and dones, that had players who had gone to, say, 3 or even 4 years of college. If you constituted a team just of those players, it would be really interesting to me to see what happens.
San Antonio for many, many years was that team for many years. And they were a great team for a long period of time. The Knicks have hired David Fizdale. David Fizdale was an assistant to Eric
Spoelstra. Is that Wayman Tisdale?
No, it's David Fizdale. He was an assistant to Spoelstra for a while in Miami. He is highly thought of by Michael Wilbon because he's apparently
from
a good
guy.
No, I don't know that he's from Chicago. He's probably passed through Chicago and been influenced by the Chicago way of life and savviness, as we all know about Chicago. But he has... Wilbon likes him. He was fired about an hour into this season in Memphis because he apparently didn't get along with Marc Gasol. And in the NBA, unlike in college, the coach is more important than the players because the players don't come and go. If you like a player, you keep a player around for a lot of years. Fizdale will coach the Knicks. He will become the 351st coach of the Knicks in the last 9 minutes. He was given a 4-year contract. The Knicks are terrible, and he'll be out in two. And then he'll be on television as a commentator because that's... I mean, if you look, the Knicks have gone through great coaches. They went through Lenny Wilkins and Larry Brown. They went through great coaches. Mike D'Antoni appears to be a pretty good coach. They went through him, and then they went through people that were not as good. Kurt Rambis, Derek Fisher, people like that. But they just go through coaches all the time. And that, I think, do we want to talk about Cleveland? Did you want to say anything about Cleveland?
Well, I mean, you know my feeling on Cleveland.
Boston's going to be much tougher than Toronto. Because Boston has people who harass you. They have young, active players who harass you. Toronto does not harass you.
I think this is not going to. This is going to be sort of a contrarian take on the heels of that game and that 31 points from Kevin Love. But I honestly, I think Cleveland is as bad as LeBron is good.
Okay.
I do not see how that team in the finals. Well. I mean, I wouldn't ever count LeBron out, but I mean, if that team,
if that team made it
to the finals,
no, they can't win.
And lost and got swept or lost
win.
In five, I would not
would
even be remotely surprised.
Would you not consider it remarkable that they made the finals?
So it would be remarkable. LeBron is on these two. I was wrong about his stats in the first game. He actually had 13 assists. So through these two games, LeBron has 69 points, 19 boards, 27 assists, and 2 turnovers. I mean, that is
and
incredible.
In a season
where he has played more games and more minutes than he has ever played, at however old he is, it's just it is amazing to watch. And some of those fadeaway shots were just, I mean, that was.
Isn't that a great line by Mark Jones?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know how bad Toronto is. I don't have that much sense of how bad.
They struggled
bad
with the Wizards. That
are.
Should tell you something.
Yeah. But there's something about LeBron that is kind of transcendent, like he's just taking all this on himself, and I just have the feeling he wants to win everything and walk away from Cleveland.
Oh, he's going
to
walk away
from
Cleveland.
But I think he wants to win first, and so he's going to do anything he can.
We were looking at a statistic yesterday while we were in the office. LeBron invested in a pizza company called
New York
Fuel,
style?
I know, actual pizza. I think it's called Fuel Pizza or something like that.
I know, there's a Fuel right by whatever.
He threw in $1 million. He now is worth $36 million on Fuel Pizza. LeBron
and when you say he's threw in $1 million, that could have just fallen out of his pocket.
He gets good advice and takes it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And takes it. Seems to know what he's doing. He's got a deal, that HBO show, Ballers. Isn't he the executive producer of that show?
Is it Ballers or is it Survivor's Remorse?
Whatever. There's one show he's involved with that's done very well. And by the way, in that one movie he was in,
Trainwreck.
He was great.
Tremendous.
He was great. So,
tremendous.
All right, we'll get out of here. We'll come back. We'll talk more about all of these things, all of the basketball things with Brian Windhorst. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Fantastic. This is the Books ad, and playing into everything we believe in, the first line is, Mother's Day sneaks up and we hit the panic button. We get suckered into online flower giants pitching $19.99 flowers that end up costing $60. Or we grab last-minute produce department flowers that smell oddly like green onions. Good copy so far. That tells Mom you didn't care enough to send flowers from the Books. That's short from bouquets, and they are booking awesome. Books flowers are as unique and special as your mom. They're freshly cut from Books farms and delivered straight to your mom, so they last weeks, not days. Books even has farms located on the side of a volcano that produce flowers so gorgeous, Mom will post pics of them and brag about you. Opportunity in Hawaii right now for the Books company.
Oh, yes.
Now that a volcano has exploded
that volcanic soil
in Hawaii.
Tony, too soon.
No one was hurt.
Too
I
soon.
Don't believe.
Nobody
yeah.
hurt.
Was hurt.
Yeah. And because Books cut out the middlemen, you'll get amazingly fresh flowers at an amazing price. Show Mom how much you care. Send her artisan design flowers from the Books. Order today and get an extra 15% off when you enter Tony. That is BOUQS.com, Books. And remember to enter Tony to save an extra 15% at Books.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is David Krai, K-R-A-A-I. This is called Sing Me an Old Song. This is a very interesting email. I'm an Americana musician based out of upstate New York right by Woodstock. I know Woodstock well. I play the Woodstock Golf Club all the time. My uncle Maine is a huge fan of your show and listens in every weekday. He recently informed me about how you feature original music by artists around the country, which is very cool of you. I listened to a lot of your episodes and really enjoyed the show. Needless to say, I'll be tuning in regularly and wanted to send over a couple of tracks for my new album. It was recorded in the basement of the legendary Big Pink, a house just outside of Woodstock.
Isn't that cool?
And that's the cover of the first album by the band. It's been 50 years since Bob Dylan and the band recorded the basement tapes there, and this is the first album recorded and released from Big Pink since those historic sessions. Performers on the album included Dylan alumni Rob Stoner, of course, and Eric Weisberg. Should you want anything else or have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact me. And this is a beautiful song.
It has a Neil Young ring to it to me, and I mean that in the most complimentary way.
Very, very, very nice. Very nice. Brian Windhorst joins us now. We have a lot of questions for Brian. I know he's expecting all the stories about the game, all the stuff about the games. Well, my first question isn't about that. When we were leaving the PTI set yesterday, there was this small news story, which I found really interesting, and I'm sort of sorry we didn't go back into the show, but it's better we didn't go back into the show. And that was that Drake has been warned about bad language. Do you know anything about this, Brian?
First off, let me ask you this. How many times over the years have you guys gone back into the show?
Only when something catastrophic happens. In 18 years, 30 times.
Okay, that's more than I would have thought. So, right, this is kind of interesting little loophole. So this season, every fan with a courtside seat gets a little placard at every game, and it's like a message from the NBA, and it sort of bucks them up a little bit and says, "Hey, you're really special. You get to sit here and." Be real part of the action. You're one of our most important customers, blah, blah, blah. But hey, no cursing and no foul behavior or whatever. The NBA seems to be a little bit worried about just interactions with fans courtside. We've seen some little action earlier, this year. So like the people sitting courtside are like not supposed to, jump out towards the court and scream at the officials just because they have a bunch of money and pay and have great seats. And that's been a specific, influence this year for all courtside fans. So Drake, he has been a little bit crossing that line, yelling at players, at Kendrick Perkins. So he got warned as a fan for, just please be careful. Like any fan theoretically could have been warned for. Now, I will point out
doesn't he work for the Raptors?
Yeah, so he 3 years ago, he got fined $25,000 because it was something happened at a concert involving Kevin Durant. I can't remember if he brought Durant on stage and said, hey, we're going to sign you in Toronto, or if he said something from the stage to Durant. And I don't know, sometimes, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, Tony. Sometimes the NBA announces fines, but they don't actually collect the money.
Right.
It's kind of like a, hey, we're not actually going to fine you this money, but if you do it again, we're going to fine you real money. It's going to be $50,000. So I don't know if yes, he has a role. He's known as the Raptors global ambassador.
Right.
So he has some sort of perfunctory role. But I think he was warned about interacting with players, as any front row sitting courtside fan would be had they said and interacted with the player like he did with Kendrick Perkins.
Well, I will say this. Wilbon, I don't know Drake's work. I'm not familiar with his oeuvre.
You don't?
But Wilbon says that it's all the same. Every single thing sounds exactly the same. Wilbon can't stand him. I don't know that that's personal. I mean, he just can't stand his music. I'm not a big fan of Kendrick Perkins over the years, but if he punched Drake in the head, I'd be okay with that. I mean, I really would.
Well, I'm just going to tell you a story about Drake that may put everything in perspective for you. You know, Drake has been criticized at many times for being a front runner because whatever team happens to be doing well, he all of a sudden wants to be a fan of.
Right.
So one of the years that the Miami Heat won the title, I can't remember if it was the first or second year, but the game was in Miami. And Drake was trying, as some celebrities love to do, was trying to get into the locker room after the game, basically to celebrate with the Heat players, with the champagne and everything.
Kevin Hart style.
And
Kevin Hart.
Right, I mean,
someone pick up Kevin and put him up here.
Come on, little buddy.
This sort of stuff really annoys me because I don't even think that the media should be allowed in for those things, because I look at some media members who try to pretend like they're on the team, and I look at them with a side eye over the years. I don't like to go into the locker room after those situations. I've only done it a couple of times to get, just because people want to know what happened in there. But anyway, and the security guards in Miami, who are handpicked by Pat Riley, who might as well be running a paramilitary operation, they were not letting Drake in. Drake was not allowed to come in. They didn't care if it was Drake or President Obama. They did not have authorization to let him in, and they weren't letting him in. And he's very frustrated, and he's bouncing around. And the guy says, listen, the only people who are allowed in here right now are media. And Drake says, I am media.
So, of course he is.
There was a time when he was trying to masquerade as a reporter.
Of course he's media.
And hang out with guys.
Yeah. I am media.
I am media.
Yes, it's like I am music, and I write the song.
I am woman. Media. Hear me roar.
Something Kanye West would say. I am media.
Yeah. Well, that confirms my feeling about Drake. Makes me happy. I thought that Utah beating Houston the other day was the most shocking thing in the playoffs. I never thought they would win any games at all. Watching the games last night, I've already forgotten the fact that Utah has beaten Houston, and I just don't think Utah will win again. If you wanna protest that, we can do that, or we can just move on to what happened last night.
They shouldn't win, but as you know, sometimes in the playoffs you get what I call a home win, where you have a night where just everything goes in.
Yeah.
You know, your number eight player hits four threes, and your crowd goes crazy. So I will be interested to see, because I know the crowd's going to be nuts, but the Rockets are really good. And also, it looks to me like Quinn Snyder, he's a really good coach. I think he pulled out, like, every little wrinkle trick he had in the bag.
Yes.
And threw it at the Rockets, and, like, they were just stuttered a little bit by the game plan changes. We'll see if he's got any wrinkles left. But I generally agree with you. I think, you know, the Rockets and Warriors are probably going to move through these series relatively easily.
So let me get to last night's game, and let me start with Cleveland and Toronto, because you were at that game. I don't want to say Toronto didn't defend. LeBron made shots that three guys could have been hanging on him. It doesn't really matter. LeBron is so huge that he can create whatever small amount of space he needs, and you cannot block his shot. But in watching that game, you just say to yourself, Toronto, they could finish first for the rest of time in the regular season. They're not a substantial playoff team against Cleveland. They're just not. I think Boston can beat Cleveland. I don't think Toronto can beat them. This is four in a row in the last couple of months, two in Toronto and two in Cleveland. What do you think? I don't think they can beat them.
Tony, the Cavs have won eight straight playoff games against the Raptors for the last 3 years, and they've won five in a row here in Toronto.
Good.
Five playoff wins in a row. I mean, that's come on. I mean, the worst team in the league playing a playoff game at home in five tries gets a win. The thing about last night, you're absolutely right. LeBron hit some shots that just nobody can believe he hit them. You know, the one where the ball might have been 20 feet in the air and it went in. Okay, when a guy does that, you just say, look, we'll just have to go down the other end of the court. But way before that happened, the Cavs, this last series against the Pacers, every time they went to a screen, every time they got a rebound, every time they even dribbled up the court, the Pacers made the Cavs feel them. They were bruising them. They were pushing them. They were pressuring them. And the Cavs were really frustrated and off their game and playing terrible offense. Being against the Raptors, especially last night, has been a vacation. Their players are moving around, free-flowing, bouncing. Oh, this is how this is going to be. This is great. This is like taking a preseason game. Last night, the Raptors shot 60% in the first half. Now, you shoot 60% in the first half of a playoff game, and you're at home, you better be going into that locker room with a 15- to 20-point lead. They were up two.
Two. Yeah.
Because the Cavs were scoring with such ease. And the Raptors are a top-five defensive team in the regular season. Their lack of fight, Kevin Love spent the last day and a half complaining about how much he hates playing center because he has to bounce up against these giant Eastern Europeans who are all mean and tough and bruise him, and he's just not equipped. And so the Raptors' game plan last night was to switch small guys on him, and Kevin Love's like, oh, I'm up against a 6'4 guy now? Okay, it's like I'm back in college again. And he had 30 points. I mean, it was way more than just LeBron in this situation.
All right, we can move away from that because Toronto's not going to win this series and go to what I thought was very surprising since I'm one of those guys who picked Milwaukee to beat Boston. I just didn't think Boston would be this good. And Boston is now 6-0 at home, and they don't lose series when they start out 2-0 in series. And it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, it seems to me that Simmons and Embiid, who may be the greatest players in the league within 2 years, certainly in Simmons' case, he's, you know, somebody knows how to defend him and be physical with him, and he's getting nothing. And it looks like Brad Stevens has said, and in fact, I think Cedric Maxwell said this on PTI yesterday, Embiid, you can score 50. We don't really care. Nobody else can score, and that's how we're going to win. Is that how you see that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, I would say that Brad Stevens is paying Ben Simmons a compliment because he has set up his entire defense to limit his playmaking.
Which he has.
And he's like, listen, Embiid, if you want to score 40 and you want to chirp and dance and put stuff on Instagram, go for it. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah,
right. And, I think Embiid after game one, he sort of was like, I can do more. I'm going to be even better. And Brad was like, go for it, big man.
Yeah.
And so, the other thing is playing in Boston is very difficult. I've been there for many playoff games. It's a great environment in that situation. It's a great crowd. And I just think that the Sixers, I know everybody was so excited about them and, like, you know, ready to crown them and everything. And, you know, they still have a good chance to win this series. But we're still dealing with a bunch of kids who've never experienced that before.
Right.
And
right.
And going in there, and not only that, Tony, they really, as an organization, they faced a ton of adversity the last 4 years. But this particular team hasn't faced much adversity. They won 17 games in a row or whatever to end the regular season. And then, you know, they had a pretty wonderful first round against Miami.
Yes.
This is some adversity. You're not winning any anything in the playoffs without facing some adversity. And they looked like a team that didn't know what to do when they were under a lot of pressure. But I think one big factor that is an important thing with Philly, no matter what happens going forward, they were they were getting like great performances from some guy like Marco Bellinelli and Erstan Ilyasova, and those guys have turned back into pumpkins a little bit, which is not much of a surprise. There's a reason why those guys were available for free to anybody who wanted to sign them in March. So, you know, some of it is they've come back to earth. But I expect him to play well at home, and I expect Simmons to figure this out. But Brad Stevens, if he would talk to you honestly, would probably tell you, we are just getting lucky here because this beast who is Ben Simmons doesn't exactly know how to handle this yet. And he hasn't seen some of this stuff. And when he figures it out, we're going to probably be in trouble.
Yeah, this is the year to get him because he will figure it out because he's a really good player. It's one last question that I think I know the answer to, but I want to hear it from you. I assume that the league roots against Toronto because there's no rating with Toronto because they're not actually in the United States of America. I don't think they would ever say that, but I think they want them out. Do you agree with that, or do you think it really doesn't matter?
Well, I can't tell you the last time LeBron was slated in as the early game.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron doesn't play at 6 o'clock. So they play at 6 o'clock. So there's your answer there. But, Tony, I'm very careful to say this because the wonderful, fine folks of Toronto and the wonderful people of the Raptors organization have such an inferiority complex because they think that they're somehow not allowed to be in the club because they're Canadian. And I face this with the Raptors all the time. The Raptors are convinced that ESPN is against them.
ESPN's not against. Well, maybe they are because it's ratings. Maybe they are. I don't know.
Like I said, the game was at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
They're 1-11 in game ones all time, and they want not all time. They had been 1 of their last 11. And one of the reasons why, and I've been to a bunch of these games, and one of the reasons why they feel like they were is because they had to play like at 12:30 in the afternoon or 5:30 at night to be on NBA TV.
Just the rating doesn't count. It just doesn't count.
They're just convinced that everybody in the continental U.S. is against them and that, you know, they don't respect them. I don't think that's true. I think they have two guys who've been voted into starters to the All-Star game, and DeRozan and Lowry. I've been here. I've spent dozens of nights here the last 3 years covering them, but it is a real thing that they don't get over. And I would just say, when it comes to respect, it's respect is earned.
It's earned.
You guys, if the Raptors were a 65-win team that was kicking everyone's butt, and lighting the game up like the Warriors, trust me, they would be on at 8 o'clock, and nobody would worry about that.
Thank you, Brian. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tony. Take care.
Brian Windhorst, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news in our news segment. If we don't get to all the news stories, we'll get to them in Old Guy, because in our news segment, Andy Beyer will join us with a Kentucky Derby preview. I don't know that he's concerned with Cinco de Derby. I think he's just concerned
with
de Derby.
I think everyone's concerned with Cinco de Derby.
All right, so let's get out of here.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Sonos ad. Sonos spelled backwards.
What is that?
Sonos. The Sonos Play Base will put you at the center of all your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, it plays music, so you can go from watching the game to blasting your victory song. The new Sonos One blends great sound with Amazon Alexa, so you can use your voice to control music, podcasts, and more. Just ask. That's what they asked me to write, to say. They wrote that.
Right.
And now I'm supposed to talk about home theater and how was the setup process. Michael, who set it up, can tell me exactly how the setup process was.
Setup process for your play base could not have been easier. The only difficult piece, again, was having to manage
the client.
Chester, the dog.
Chester, the dog.
Booster, the baby.
Right.
And you, as you walked in and out of the room saying, what's that?
Would
I be able to hear that out of the TV? And it fit neatly under your TV.
It's very, very good. And now it says I'm supposed to discuss how has the play base changed the way you and your family enjoy TV. The sound's better.
It's sneaky big.
Yeah, the sound's better. It's fuller. It's richer. It's like the difference between a $50 bottle of wine and a $14 bottle of wine. Really, it is. What do you think about being able to control music with your voice? I'm frightened by that. I mean, if you're asking me honestly, I'm frightened by that. And it says, any special moments with friends or family that you've had while listening with Sonos? Special moments at my age.
Sounds like the setup was wonderful.
It was.
Bonding his father-son bonding
experience. I'm happy when the family comes over.
Is it sort of like the Yule log?
Yeah, the Gulag is great. Yeah.
I found years worth of dusty old DVDs behind your TV when I was setting this thing
up. Are there any other kinds of DVDs?
Are the Hallmark movies better?
They're better.
Much better.
They're just better.
You can really hear the dialogue.
Better. Sonos is offering the listeners of the Tony Kornheiser Show 10% off one order of $2,500 or less for any product on Sonos.com. This offer is available for a limited time only and cannot be combined with other discounts or promotions. I'm going to recommend some. Michael did it. I really like it. Use the promo code. It's an odd promo code. Tony 10. It's capital T-O-N-Y 10. T-O-N-Y all caps.
Not really 10. Odd. It's 10% off.
At Sonos.com, S-O-N-O-S, to receive this offer.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in to us by Dan Reichel of Tamarack, Florida, which I know well. I know the corner of University and Commercial very well. The band is his brother Joe Reichel's band called After Party, which is based in Long Island. And Dan writes, from Ronkonkoma, Hopog, and Nissaquag, all the way out to Aquabog, which I can pronounce because I grew up there, and everywhere in between, After Party is Long Island's number one alternative pop band. That ranking is unofficial, but no less accurate. And the song that we're listening to is called Horizon View. Additional music from the band can be found online at After Party, L-I-N-Y. That's for Long Island, New York. After Party, L-I-N-Y, bandcamp.com. Michael, if people like the Reichels want to send their music in, and our music today has been spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
And you can listen to it in full at the end of the podcast. How do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And we are selling, of course, Chatter T-shirts here in the building for
$12. What do those go for?
$12? $12. Very, very reasonably priced. It's a steal. And we want you to come for Cinco de Derby. Speaking of the Derby, or de Derby, as it might be said in a foreign language, the great Andy Beyer joins us now, as he does every single year, for Derby previews and Preakness previews and Belmont previews. You're not actually in Louisville, right? You'd think Louisville's a dump. Am I right?
Yes, and I can say with great safety, I will never see Louisville again.
Right. Okay.
and most likely never see the great state of Kentucky again. I've paid my dues there.
Yeah. Are there any... I'm not as up to date on Derby stuff as I often am. Are there any special controversies or determining factors that stand out this year that people are talking about?
I wouldn't say controversies. I think what people are talking about is, for change, it's the horse race. I think this is a year that we might well on Saturday night be saying, wow, we really just saw a great horse win the Derby. I'm not exactly sure which one it would be, but there are two or three, I think, exceptional talents here. And I often go into the Derby feeling a little cynical or like a wet blanket.
You didn't even like American Pharoah. You didn't like him.
Overrated. but this year I'm a little psyched up.
Is there a sentimental story out there? Is there a great horse that isn't running that puts us in a position where the field comes together in ways that it wouldn't have with that horse in there?
No, the best two horses are here. And, they're, terrific horses with great trainers. I mean, there's no, like, I know you want a little offbeat story. Maybe there's a horse who some dying little girl is praying for. No, this is just a horse race, Tony.
All right, so I will get to the horse race, but I should caution people that we have Andy pick the Derby every year. And Andy's percentage of winning the other Triple Crown races has been higher than the Derby. Andy, would you like to address that for our listeners?
Well, the Derby is just always full of a lot of unknown factors. I mean, it is the first time any of these horses has gone a mile and a quarter, which is a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
The size of the field, which is now almost every year is 20 horses, just creates a lot of issues and sometimes it makes the Derby won by the horse who gets the best trip rather than the most talented horse. So there's, it's a complicated race. When you get to the once the horses are run in the Derby, you get a line on them, and the Preakness and the Belmont are generally a lot more analyzable.
Okay, so I'm familiar with two horses and two horses only, and familiarity means I know their names. My friend Eddie, who told me last week he likes Audible, that's a name I know. And because I follow Bob Baffert, because my friend David Israel is very, very close with Bob Baffert, I know he has his best horse in it, I think, is called Justify. Look at the field for us and tell us how this race is going to go.
Okay, I think there are three horses who can win it, and your friend's Audible is not on my short list.
Okay.
But the favorite here is the Baffert horse, Justify, who... I think by year end will be regarded as the champion 3-year-old in America. I mean, he's raced three times. He's been brilliant every time. His buyer speed figures are the best of all the horses. He got a rating of 107 winning in the Santa Anita Derby, which is not only the best in the field, but would be better than most Derby winners in recent years. So he's 3-for-3. He's got the best trainer in America. Yeah. What's not to like?
Yeah, yeah.
He's raced only three times. He didn't start as a 2-year-old. And by historic Derby standards, this preparation is awfully thin. This is the most stressful race of any horse's life, and a horse needs to have a very sound foundation of fitness and experience to win it. People laugh about the curse of Apollo. Not since Apollo won the Derby has any horse won the race without having raced as a 2-year-old. And that was 1882. I'm sure you remember.
Just around the corner. I was in junior high school.
Bar mitzvah that year.
1882.
There's a lot of statistical evidence to suggest that you have to have done more than Justify has done to be really prepared and fit for the Derby. That's the big question mark. Lots of people dismiss that worry. They think that the curse of Apollo is kind of a joke, and Justify is going to be the solid favorite
mm-hmm.
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the nagging doubt about him.
So if he doesn't win, you said there were two other horses you like.
There's a very interesting horse, and one who is probably even harder to gauge than Justify, and that's Mendelssohn. He's based in Ireland. He spent his 2-year-old season running on the grass, and he was okay. He came over to the U.S. and won a race here. But he's got a tremendous... He was bred in the U.S. He has a tremendous dirt pedigree. His half-sister was a great champion. So they were aiming for the Derby, and they ran him... it's an Irish group called Coolmore Farm. They ran him in a race in Dubai on the dirt called the United Arab Emirates Derby. And he won it by 18 lengths.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it was a stunning performance. I tried to calculate a speed figure, and I put him, you know, like just a point behind Justify. I mean, this horse is potentially very, very good, but, like, nobody has kind of ever done this before, like to go from Ireland to Dubai, back home to Ireland, and then to Louisville, you know, in the space of a couple months. It's kind of unprecedented, but this horse has got obviously great raw mm-hmm. talent. Mm-hmm. His trainer is one of the very best in the world, and I mean, if he duplicates that that Dubai performance, I mean, this could he could do anything.
Okay, and the third horse you like?
Well, as I say, I have questions, a little nagging doubts about Justify and Mendelsohn. The third horse is Bolt D'Oro, named after Usain Bolt, and it's Bolt D'Oro. And whereas Mendelsohn and Justify have kind of had everything go right in all their races, Bolt D'Oro has had a series of tough trips in his start, so his record doesn't look all that glittering. But he ran the best race by any 2-year-old in America last year, and he went to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He got like one of the worst rides I've ever seen. He was so wide, he lost that race. He came back at Santa Anita. He got involved in a gut-wrenching head-and-head duel with a top Baffert horse who has since been injured and lost a photo finish. And then last time out, he was up against Justify. Justify got loose on the lead, and Bolt D'Oro had to kind of alter his usual style and was forced to chase him. And he got beat by 3 lengths, but it wasn't really a true bill in my view of the two horses' respective ability. But Bolt D'Oro has run 6 times. He's fired his best shot every time. And, you know, if Mendelsohn and Justify don't fire their best shot, then I think by default, you know, Bolt D'Oro is the opportunity. So it's going to be one of the 3 of them.
That's great. I can now go bet. This makes me happy. Thank you, Andy, and we'll talk to you before the Preakness.
Great to talk to you, Tony. Bye-bye.
Andy Beyer is, right, Gene, he's the best who ever did this.
Yes.
When he talks about the Beyer speed figures, those are his. He invented this.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
And
are
he invented
a standard,
them like 30 years ago.
They are a standard by which, that's like batting average in baseball.
Yeah, right.
This is a real deal.
Inventing a stat that's a real measurement matters.
And as you said, when he recommends a horse, he's not just pulling that. He'll go bet
his money where his mouth is.
Andy will bet. Andy will box.
And were you not with him once when he hit a big one?
$95,000.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Andy got $95,000. Pretty good, huh? Yeah, pretty good. Had to give a lot to the tax man, but you know what?
It's all right.
He was walking on air for a while. We'll take a break.
We'll just
you know what? When we get to Old Guy, we'll just put news in
we'll
Old
do
Guy.
Do some news in Old
okay.
Guy.
You know, it's, you know what? It's our show.
Yeah,
we can pretty much do what we want to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
That's how I look at it. So we will take a break. We will come back with Old Guy. We will put some news in there, and I don't know what else we'll talk about. Did I have things to talk about?
Old Guy stuff.
I'm old. Yeah, I wanted to attack some story in the Post today, and I think I will do that when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Four Dead in Ohio. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. 48 years ago today was a pretty dark moment in American history as American troops of the National Guard stationed in Ohio shot, four died. 4 were killed. This is on the campus of Kent State University. There's a very famous picture of a girl named Allison something or other with a scarf hanging around her neck looking at somebody's dead. She's kneeling down over a dead body. Of all the, a lot of things during the Nixon administration, it's very hard to say what is the worst thing that ever happened, whether it's his resignation, his impeachment. This This is right there. This is one of the worst.
Worst. Marianne Vecchio.
Was her name? Not Allison somebody?
I'm assuming you're talking about that picture.
I think Allison is one of the young women who died.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, I think that's it.
And this is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. All of that was in the area of critical commentary. Do you want
to? It was really like an ice pick in your heart that day. I mean, these were war protesters, and the war protests had been mounting, getting more and more powerful. And for...
They were peaceful protests, weren't they?
Well, sure.
Well, yeah.
Non-violent.
But things happened.
Things happened.
And the tragedy is, I mean, some of these National Guardsmen were as young as the protesters.
Absolutely.
It was just this horrible divisiveness in our country which reminds me so much of what's
today.
Happening today.
Of today.
Well, apparently Neil Young wrote the lyrics after...
In 10 minutes.
Well, he saw the pictures in Life magazine.
Fell down with a pen in his pocket when he turned the pocket inside out.
And
there
he said that David Crosby was crying when they did the first take of it. Said he just was so emotional about it.
I can imagine.
Understandable.
So, yeah. Yes.
There is an analysis today in the paper of the Washington Wizards, and the jump headline talks about they have an aging roster. John Wall will be 27. Bradley Beal will be 25. Otto Porter will be 25. Markieff Morris will be 29. Kelly Oubre will be 23. This is ridiculous.
Well, they're getting old, aren't they?
Well, we're all aging. We're all aging.
Technically, yes. It is an aging lineup.
It's ridiculous. That is a ridiculous comment. Marcin Gortat will be 34. Okay.
So he's
okay,
old.
But you got to have a couple of old guys on your team. I just don't. It's just, you know, it's gloom and doom about the Wizards, about how they're getting too old. This is that whole notion that some people in this city have that the collective population has wasted the great years of John Wall. That somehow this is our fault. The fans' fault and the general manager's fault and the other players' fault.
Didn't get him what he needed.
We've wasted the point god.
Yeah.
You know, stop.
Game six king.
Stop.
Yeah, I do take a lot of personal responsibility for this.
Stop. What do you have for news?
Can we talk about
Jason Witten?
Oh, sure.
Jason Witten is going to be in the Monday Night Football booth with Joe Tessitore. I don't know Joe Tessitore at all. I don't know Jason Witten at all. In the years that I did Monday Night Football and he was on the team, never talked to him. I don't have any sense of the sound of his voice. Don't know if he's a good choice or a bad choice. I do know this. Cowboys who go into the booths are really good.
Yeah, they seem to
They're
do all right.
really, really good. Yeah. Michael Irvin, Deion Sanders, Darryl Johnston, Tony Romo, Troy Aikman, Jimmy Johnson. They're really, really good.
Tessitore, you have certainly heard Tessitore do college football.
Yes, but
I've never met him.
Yeah.
I will say this. Witten, I was a little surprised just because he has always sort of struck me as sort of a little more vanilla-y, which is not to say he won't be great. I'm just saying he's never struck me as a very big personality, but...
Tony, I don't want to get you in trouble with your employer.
Thank you.
But I am so happy to see John Gruden gone. I had to turn the volume down. This is your deal.
I didn't feel that way. I will just say that if you were Monday Night Football and you felt over a long period of time that you didn't get great games and you thought maybe if we had a Cowboy, we could get the Cowboys once or twice.
Sure.
Because Cowboys are the highest rated team all the time. Doesn't matter who they play. They could play inter-squad game. They are the highest-rated team. And if you were going on history, including recent history, where Tony Romo, he's really good.
Surprisingly
good. He's really good. So I understand it. I get it.
I could be wrong, but I think the Raptors have several Monday night games next fall.
The Raptors.
Yes. Have you seen that Monday night schedule?
It's pretty good. Everybody tells me it's pretty good this year. That's what I'd heard.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Any tough West to East Coast trips for you?
I don't have to do anything.
The bus to Arizona and then...
Yeah. What do you got?
Before I get into the news proper, I would like to give a plug for a friend of the show, great friend of the show, Adam Ferrara.
Yep.
This Sunday night at 10 p.m. on the American Broadcasting Corporation, ABC, he will be in a show called Deception.
Okay.
It's a popular show, and he guest stars on it. He just found out it's going to be airing. So,
good.
If you like Adam, and we all like Adam.
We all like Adam.
Please tune in.
10 o'clock at night,
Sunday
ABC.
At 10. Yes, okay. Sunday at 10. To baseball. Looks like the Nats are back on track. They're back at 500 after the four-game sweep over the Pittsburgh Pirates. 3-1 the win yesterday. Jeremy Hellickson didn't get the win, but threw five and
he
two
never
thirds.
Gets the win.
Never
yeah,
gets
but
it.
But very effective
he's
out.
One out shy yesterday.
He's been really good.
Yeah.
He's been really good. Davey Martinez went out there and said, no, that's 61
he
pitches. That's
not
it. We're
happy
done.
About it.
Well, yeah. understandably, yeah. but it worked out. It was 0-0 when they yanked him in the top of the sixth, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yanked him. And he couldn't get the win because relievers came in. They needed a five-out save from Sean Doolittle because
Ryan Matson
failed.
Loaded
you know,
the bases.
I'm just going to tell you this, that this is the same old problem. That every day, you know, every second time they do something well, and then the second time you say, whoa, what happened there? I'm still not really confident in the bullpen. Nat's got three in the bottom of six. Trey Turner got a home run. Ryan Zimmerman, batting 190, has five home runs. You know, who knows? You know, it's a who-knows deal.
Yeah.
So the stats knows. Guys would have you look at his exit velocity. He's hitting the ball harder than he ever has.
Good.
And it's just, you know, finding fractionally people. Off when it comes
Bad
to
luck.
Launch degree.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that. I never associated. I was a very bad physics student, which is to say I never took physics because I knew I would get an F in it.
Right.
So I don't really understand how
F
this stuff works. And I don't talk about it with any great intellect because I don't understand it at all. So, anyway, what else?
Well, back to 500 for the Nats.
That was, yeah. that was a big
16.
Sweep.
You can explain yeah. it to sweep. The people at Purdue.
Yeah.
Exactly, when you're one of the great thinkers, you know?
Yeah. People at Ingleside can regale.
Oh, they're going to love you at Ingleside with your physics lessons.
Thank God I have shirts and ties for dinner.
Ichiro Suzuki. This is sort of an interesting story.
Yeah.
Ichiro Suzuki is going to leave the playing field for the rest of this year and become part of the front office
Seattle
with the Seattle Mariners. I guess some sort of like player coach, but not actually a player.
Can't play. Cannot
yeah,
be
cannot
on the
play.
Active roster.
But he is not ruling out, he and his agent are not ruling out the fact that he could come back and play next year.
He's 43 now, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's one of the
44,
greatest hitters.
44.
It's one of the greatest hitters ever.
Absolutely.
Ever. Going to be in the Hall of Fame, first ballot, 100% in.
Well, it's,
and he's a great
it's
fielder.
It's titled like great. A front office position, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it'll be
special assistant to the chairman.
Yeah, but I think but
to
next
Mao, because I always thought yeah. of, I always thought of Mao.
Chairman so, Mao. Yeah.
So is it clear whether he will be like? Will he be in the dugout?
I think
he would want that.
I think they're still working out how this will transition.
Okay. I have no idea.
Fully,
maybe at Seattle. Yeah. Maybe he'll be at Nordstrom's.
That's true.
Maybe he'll be at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be at
hitting
Starbucks.
Better than Zim this
among,
year.
Among his records, 262 hits in a single season.
It's a lot.
10 consecutive seasons with 200 hits.
It's a lot.
And
Pete Rose and him, that in my lifetime, the best hitters are
the
Pete,
pure hitter, right?
And well, George Brett and Rod Carew.
The yeah, coolest yeah. stat was 18 seasons in the majors for a guy who made his debut in his late 20s.
Yeah, because he was yeah. the best hitter ever in Japan.
Mm. Yeah, just a lot of fun to watch. To golf, Tiger Woods is playing at Quail Hollow. He shot
Even,
that's right.
He's out now. He went out early.
He's
this
on the back nine.
And I guess
now,
he was about six strokes behind the leaders.
This is now Michael knows a lot about golf, so I'm not even going to involve Michael in this.
Thank you.
I wanted to
let's keep it stupid.
Yeah. No, because Michael will say
down.
when I say what I'm going to say, Michael will refute this. But I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people who are at the top of the leaderboard in a professional golf tournament on the PGA Tour right now in the United States of America.
All right.
John Peterson, Peter Malnati.
Nope.
Tyrrell Hatton.
Nope.
Johnson Wagner.
Nope.
Keith Mitchell.
Nope.
Kyle Stanley.
Nope.
Aaron Wise.
Maybe I've heard of
Kyle
Stanley.
Kyle Stanley is the only one I have heard
of. Okay, I'm with you.
That's it. Now, Michael, I'm sure.
I'm just going to ask you, what event is being played next week?
The TPC.
Yes, so you have something that is one of the premier events,
as
the one of the best fields. So, of course, you might not recognize some of those names, but if you go down the list, you'll see a strong field.
No, I understand. I'm not saying
back
it's a weak
Tiger.
Field. I'm just saying that, what do you make of Tiger?
His score yesterday was just the result of putting, and one of the interesting trends with Tiger, and we had that whole Tiger-proofing thing 18, 15 years ago, if you slow the greens down by just a little bit, he loses a lot of his touch. He had some great quotes about how he felt the greens being very bouncy and firm underfoot, and they weren't rolling the way he thought they would, yet other guys were putting off the greens. And he's got his new TW Phase 1 irons in the bag.
Oh, good. They're who makes them?
So these are the tailor-made prototypes that he's using, and part of the legend of Tiger is his ability to just break down any piece of equipment. He noticed they were a half degree off in their face angle, and lo and behold, they were. a half a degree.
I mean, I noticed
visually,
that just watching on
he
TV.
He saw that visually?
He could see it with the flight of the ball.
This That's is awesome. Okay, this reminds me of a story. For those of you who are not as old as I am, some of you will not recognize this name. One of the greatest basketball players of all time, Bill Bradley, who later became a senator from New Jersey. There was a book written about him by John McPhee, a biography of Bill Bradley, while he was a student at Princeton,
great book.
Where John McPhee taught.
And still teaches.
And still teaches. And it was called A Sense of Where You Are. And in it, the signature story is that Bill Bradley, this fantastic shooter, Bill Bradley is warming up in a college gym, not Princeton's Jadwin gym, another gym, and says, the basket's off. So what do you mean the basket's off? The basket's off. It's not 10 feet. Of course it is. It's been here for 30 years. The basket's off. They measure. It's off.
Wow.
It's like 9 feet 11. It's 9 feet 11 and a half.
Yeah, I can see
the
it.
Basket's off. So some people have that. Tiger has that.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Bradley has that. What else you got?
Mr. Tony, it looks like there is a...
Now, I cannot... commend this book enough.
No, I mean anything by John McPhee.
Yeah.
But that one was special.
Yeah.
There is a movement afoot with the GW, George Washington University. Now,
what
right
is
here.
This?
Apparently there are some people who...
I spent a lot of tuition money at George Washington
yes,
with my
did.
Daughter.
Yes, you did. There are people there that are upset with the name, the nickname of the sports franchises, the Colonials. They say it... let me find the exact
like
phrase.
Like colonizer from...
yes, they we're
Black Panther.
There is a student. I'm trying to find her quote here, but basically, they say it's just evocative of all the. Oh, here it is.
Everything that's wrong with America.
Yeah, this historically negative.
In the 1700s.
Yes, they say the use of Colonials, no matter how innocent the intention, is received as extremely, extremely offensive. I want to highlight that.
Extremely offensive
by not only affiliates of the university but the nation and the world at large. Now, I'm sorry. I don't remember seeing people around the world saying they've got to change this nickname.
What do they want to become?
The Bearcats.
Well, the hippos, apparently.
The hippos.
You've got to be kidding.
The hippo
you're kidding.
No.
Hippos is not a race.
The hippos.
They should be the pandas. In honor of the pandas.
River horses is another one.
Mud cats.
Because that's another name for hippos, I guess.
Oh, rivers. Well,
that's
why
the Greek,
you don't
the
need another word. Name for hippos? Be the hippos if you want to be the hippos.
Yeah.
What do hippos have to do with George Washington? How about the cherry trees?
Well, another one said the revolutionaries.
I can speak to this directly because Harper College and then Binghamton University, we were the Colonials as well.
Right.
Different Colonials.
Now you're the
It was very different. It was very different. Nobody protested that we were colonizing and taking away the rights and even the lives of people in our path. Because we were named after an architectural style.
Right.
And the reason we changed the name is because we couldn't sell anything in the bookstore because we had no mascot. We had nothing. We had just four columns.
Right.
That's all we were. We weren't these kinds.
The
contemporaries. We weren't the bad Colonials. We were the boring Colonials.
Boring Colonials.
The A-framers.
So now we paid $100,000
for tutors
to some consulting group who made us the Bearcats, which is Cincinnati.
Yes.
And we have a bad
But you're
nickname.
The Green Bearcats, though.
Yeah, you're not happy with that nickname.
We have a bad... No, it's somebody else's nickname.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hippos, at least, is nobody else's nickname.
I wouldn't want to wear a hippo on a sweatshirt. I'm sorry.
We also... Our Binghamton baseball team is the Rumble Ponies.
The minor
good.
League team
the
in
minor
Binghamton.
League team is the Rumble Ponies.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We should never have stopped... We should not have traded... Colonials for $100,000 into Bearcats. We should not have done that.
Well, they could go by the GW Angry Students, maybe.
Yeah. How about that?
Sure. Apparently,
we're angry because our parents pay $50,000 a year.
And this,
more than that now.
They've got 200 students, had added digital signatures. If 500 students
signed digital
on,
signatures?
Yeah, I guess
well,
you
don't
sign
it with a pen.
You don't have to go pick up a pen.
That's too much work.
Can I just click?
But it just feels like this is a bridge too far for me.
Well, if they want to change it, fine.
And one final story.
GW are the Colonials.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're just, aren't those the people who were in the colonies?
It's George Washington.
It's referring to the colonial people.
Right,
you know,
it's not the colonizers.
Remember that the little hat?
It's George Washington. It's everything that's wrong with America.
When you say it's extremely offensive and everyone across the planet, it's just,
To whom?
This stuff drives
me mad. To me and my couple of friends.
And by the way, river horses, just so I can clarify that, because that's the origin of hippo is, it's a Greek. Hippopotamus. Hippo is the Greek word for a horse, and Potamus is the reward for river, so that's where we get hippopotamus, river horse.
Okay, thank you for that.
Have some guts and call yourself the hippos.
I am not walking down the street with a hippo on my shirt.
Bullets.
Sorry,
go
that
with
is
the
looking
bullets.
For trouble.
You know what? Go with Le Boulay.
We should do the bullets.
Go with Le Boulay. All intuition, over $65,000.
Boom.
Yeah, call yourself the 65 grand.
Yeah.
And we've got to get to this story. I know we're running a little bit late.
We are.
But we've got to get this story. It feels
You're the
like
one who wanted to get out early.
It. I know, but we have to do this. This feels like it should be a Florida story, but no. This is New Jersey. People at the faculty and students at the Holmdel High School in New Jersey found it something disturbing on the track field and the football field day after day in the early morning. It was feces.
Hmm. Human.
Animal?
It appeared to be human feces. Human. I'm not sure how they made that determination, but it appeared to be human feces. So they contacted the police and said, look, every morning we go out to the fields, we find this. So police set up cameras and surveillance, and they found something very curious. A bloke by the name of Thomas Tramoglini, who I believe goes by the nickname of Deuce, age 42, a school superintendent.
That's the best part.
School superintendent.
Former Deuce. School
yes.
Was he the superintendent or was he the number two in that office?
He is now on administrative leave at this point, where they found he was going out onto the field, defecating, and then going for a run around the track.
Classic so territory marking.
5:50 in the morning, they arrested him after witnessing him do this. He was also, I believe, a guest lecturer at Rutgers, and I believe that could be in jeopardy for him right now. There's a
could be in jeopardy.
No half-waff
well,
for this
that's
guy.
Done.
Yes. As he said, given the nature of these charges, he asked for and was granted a paid leave of absence. So he's got a hearing now on May 7th. There is still
get out.
There is still no explanation as to why. Why
it just
earth.
Became a habit for him. Just you know,
I guess
regularity is very important. Get out of here. When we come back, we will have a jingle and some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's time for the mailbag, the end of the show. Gonna read your emails, faxes, and all of your notes. You might hear some snarky comments from Mike and Burke.
Probably.
Yeah, cause he hates Tony.
Yes, he does.
I don't think he does.
Another reason this show works.
Joe Arrow. Doing Daniel by Elton John, for which we are very, very, very grateful. Let me thank Brian Windhorst for coming on the show today, the great Andy Beyer for coming on the show today. Let me thank today's sponsors, Sonos and Books. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Please come see us tomorrow. At Cinco de Derby Day.
Cinco de Derby starting at what, about 11, 11:30?
I have no idea.
11:30, I think.
It's all day. Jeff in Pittsburgh, dear Dr. Hoff-Woff, we all know how time flies and can get away from you, especially when you're as old as dirt. You know how Valentine's Day or Mother's Day can sneak up on you? Mentioned that the Kentucky Derby is the fastest 2 minutes in sports. Are they running these 2 minutes in less than 2 minutes? Next thing you'll tell us, the Caps will beat the Penguins in the playoffs. Good luck with that. I do say it's the fastest 2 minutes in
sports. I don't
think
that's because of the duration, though. I think it's more about the speed, isn't it?
I would think so, but you never know. Matt Rousset in Robbinsville, New Jersey. Blake Treinen got Ichiro out in what could be his final at-bat. If Ichiro is the best hitter I've ever seen, the transitive property must make Blake Treinen the best pitcher I've ever seen. And as our previous emailer said, good luck with that. Brian in Chicago is a transplanted St. Louisian. St. Louis?
Okay.
St. Louisian?
St. Louisian, not
I was
St.
thrilled
Louis.
To hear your awe of our St. Louis Arch, meant to symbolize the city's status as the gateway to the West, but it seems like you were missing a man-made wonder right under your nose. The bathrooms at Chatter, they are rehabbed and nice now, located inside the historic for-profit restaurant and gift shop. T-shirts, $12, and available here. Bill from Ocala, which I assume is Ocala, Florida.
I believe so.
I have a really good phone if you need to call me, which is really, that's sort of funny. Andrew Stein in Jerusalem. Now that reading of group text messages has become a regular segment on the show, I too would like to share my text with fellow littles here in Israel. Me, yesterday's jingle was a good one. Kirsten Onstad is a winner. Steve, yeah, I've been enjoying the jingles more and more. Steve, understanding what they're about is clearly important. Me, who does Deadspin hate more, Saliza or Tony? Avi, probably Saliza. I haven't seen a Tony article in a while. Me, this author needs a hobby or something. That's what we get with Sands and Feynman and Gary and Jeannie and everybody else.
That's right.
Ben Rindner reporting. Ben Rindner of the Tony Kornheiser I team with a breaking story. Some, but not many of the Redskins cheerleaders reluctantly visit a family for profit restaurant in the Friendship Heights neighborhood located inside the line of the District of Columbia to eat the occasional meal. The cheerleaders are known to eat in awkward silence as an old orange man creeps around the tables ogling the chicken breasts and pork loins. The chicken breasts are usually bare or painted with a light barbecue sauce as the orange man repeats over and over again, "I'm not a creeper, I'm an owner. Are you enjoying your meal?" This is very important.
Season ticket holder.
Yes. Come on. I'm an owner. I can do what I want. And I have a sign that I hold up now that says I'm an owner, not a creeper or a pervert.
That's right.
So
it's good clarification.
Jim Paich, P-A-E-T-S-C-H, Paich, maybe? Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. "Dear Mr. Tony, it's certainly nice that Nigel has authored his first book, but judgment will be withheld until we see his Thursday book." This is Simon the Sea Cat.
Simon the Sea Cat, yes.
And this is coming out soon.
Yes, I believe by the end of the month we'll have it available for sale.
Jake Allen in Pittsfield, Illinois. "I heard yesterday about the Memphis local who said there was somewhere besides the Rendezvous to go for barbecue in Memphis. Who knew? Wondering if you would be so kind as to forward that info along, as I'll be in the area mid-June for a baseball tournament for my son." Littles helping bigs, helping littles. When we get it, when he sends it to us, yes. Although, I mean, my official position is a Rendezvous is great. If there's better than Rendezvous, it's got to be
Gary
really,
Gary can contribute to
really
this.
Great.
Rendezvous is excellent. Yeah. I ate at Central Barbecue when I was in Memphis as well, which was
great.
Phenomenal. Yes, I would highly recommend either.
Anthony Verna, "I have a friend named Dina DeMaio. What do you think her name means?"
Hmm.
Dina means Dina.
Of the five.
And DeMaio of the mayonnaise.
Of the fifth.
Of the mayonnaise, it seems to me. This is from Paul Wade. It is signed, "The people of Italy, all of them. Even the fictional ones from The Godfather and that commercial with the spicy meatball." And this is, "So glad you cleared up what pizza is and who defines it, forever making New York style not a thing." It's very, very simple. The pizza that is sold in New York City, this is all I'm going to say.
Like a Sparrow.
This is pizza. No.
Ray's famous.
This is pizza.
When was the last time you had New York pizza?
Like Stouffer's, right?
When was the last time you had pizza in New York?
A couple of months ago.
Can you never talk about pizza again until you see the pizza episode from Ugly Delicious, the David Chang documentary?
Oh,
on
I
Netflix.
Don't even know what that is. Oh, okay, I should stop talking about it. From Chris McFarlane in Orangeville, named for me, Ontario. "I wanted to send all of our winning Safeway Monopoly tickets to you, but the woman to whom I'm related by marriage already sent them to Dan Patrick." If you're out on your bike side, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
Right, Ernie.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Down the road, the miles behind will show your heavy load. Sometimes what's real ain't what's been said, and all you know is there's another day ahead. Sing me one by me.
Something.